You're listening to the Save the Marriage podcast. Your marriage can be saved and strengthened if you have the right information. Join Dr. Lee Baucom as he explores ways for you to improve your relationship and your life, starting right now.
Hey, this is Lee Baucom, and welcome to another video on how you can work to save and improve your marriage. I'm here today in the house. Right beside me is my golden doodle, Clementine, who is my sidekick and often accompanies me as I'm doing all of this work. She seems to like to hang with me, so I'll take that. You may have also noticed I had a few props along with me. I'm going to tell you about that in just a minute, but I hope you're having a good week. I hope you're making progress in your efforts to save your marriage, because those efforts matter. They really do. So if you noticed on the thumbnail, I had my sponge balls, right? And I also had this other little wand. And the reason I had them is because today we're going to talk about what do you do about the tricks? So many times people will come to me and say, just give me the tip, right? Give me the trick to turn this around. What is the trick to this? And it reminds me of my days way back in my teen years when I was a magician. When I was young, I thought, I'm going to be a professional magician. Did lots of shows, worked in magic shop, did a lot of entertaining, and really loved it, and thought I would be a professional until I kind of burned out on it because I did too many shows. As I was transitioning over to college, I had ended up doing just hundreds of shows in a year and was just burned out. And so I left my magic wand behind and moved forward, but never lost my love for magic. And I never lost what I learned from magic. Met great people. I learned a lot about myself, and I learned a lot about psychology. And that's what I want to talk about today, kind of this psychology piece behind the magic, because I think it's going to help you understand why sometimes people get stuck in this process. So first of all, let me just say that when you're looking at a magician and you're looking at a trick, they are not just pulling that trick up and doing it, right? They've studied, they've worked, they've practiced. I remember practicing, I mean, just hours and hours to get a trick right and to get the delivery right and to get the words right. And so when you see somebody up on stage and you're going, how did that trick happen, right? What's the trick behind the trick? That's the problem. We want this simple little thing. And that's the real heart of this. So let me just kind of talk through a little of this. This is one little trick is one of my favorites for a reason. It taught me a lesson. So this little wand is a little magic trick that comes in different variations. But this little wand is part of a trick that I picked up. So a little background. There was a magic shop that was at the beach, right near where we camped when I was a kid. And my parents would let me hang out with the owner of the magic shop, and he kind of took me under his wings, and I went hung with him at magic conventions. He let me work in the shop when I was there, and had great experience with him. Ron Connolly is his name. He's still alive, still a great guy. So this particular trick, though, happened before I was that connected. I went in, and I'd seen this trick over and over, right? And so on the way out of town, we bought the trick for the trip home. My parents figured it would keep me quiet in the back seat. And so this little trick, when I got in and started reading about it, I realized there was this sleight of hand that my little hands at that point would not do. And so I was working and working and working and trying to get it to work. It's very simple, right? It's a very simple thing. But when I bought the trick, I figured there was something that was kind of automatic about it. Like it was, as we refer to it in the magic world, it's self-working, right? And it was not self-working. It was sleight of hand. And I was sitting there going, can we go back? We were about an hour down the road. I was like, can we drive back to the magic shop and have him show me how to do this? And they were like, nope, we're too far away. And so I kept working and I kept working and I kept working. And then I finally mastered that simple action. So let me first say that's lesson number one. A lot of what I talk about in how to save your marriage is simple. That is not the same as easy. That piece of sleight of hand, simple sleight of hand, That did not mean it was easy. It took me a long time to master it. And so when you hear me talk about something and say, you know, this is the simple approach, I want you to understand that does not mean that's the easy approach. It's just that it's the most direct and simple approach. I'm going to try to make it uncomplicated, which brings up a second point. I would show people a trick and they would say, oh, I know how you did that. And I often would just be interested to hear how they thought I did that. And so they would give me this extreme, long, convoluted path of how that trick worked, right? They had all of these gizmos and gadgets and all the stuff in their mind. And for this, one simple move with my hand was all it took. Now, simple, not easy, but again, simple. And what they were doing was making it so complicated, I don't even know how you could have engineered that process to happen. Same with the sponge balls. Sponge balls, everybody thinks there's something hidden in them or something like that. Nope, sleight of hand. Sponge ball tricks happen by sleight of hand. So if you see somebody doing sponge ball tricks, sleight of hand, they have practiced a long time. And so when you're coming up with these very complex ways that happen, it's very simple, as is what happens in a successful marriage. Not easy. Simple. So I talk about connection, right? I really only talk about three C's, the simple three C's that you need to work on and practice in your relationship to save it, and the same ones you would use to keep it going, okay? So connecting with your spouse, I'm telling you right here, connecting with your spouse. Simple, not easy, because sometimes we don't understand what that's about. Changing yourself, simple, change. You've got to change yourself and be the best person. Is that easy? No. But is it worthwhile? Absolutely. That is the whole thing about this. When I give you a simple approach and you're like, oh, that's so hard. It's not that it's hard. It's just not easy. It takes time. It takes effort. And last one, creating a new path. Why is that more difficult? Because you don't know and understand that path right off. That's part of the process of growing and expanding into a marriage. You have to figure out how to master that. So the first lesson I learned from magic was that people make simple things very complicated. And in the process, they only confuse themselves. I would watch them try to convolute their ways around that. And it was a simple move, sleight of hand. But they would make it so complex and complicated. And all they would do is end up being confused. So the first thing I want you to understand, to take that the analogies from magic, is that what matters in life is usually pretty simple. Not easy, pretty simple. And you got to practice. That's the other thing. People who master their craft, whether it's doing magic or a sport or some other hobby, they have to work at it. The growth mindset is what we just landed on. Carol Dweck talks about the fact that there are two basic mindsets you can hold in your head. One is the fixed mindset. A fixed mindset, it says that I should be good already. My natural talent, right? When we tell kids, oh, you're a natural at that, we're gifting them, not a great gift, with a fixed mindset. We're saying to them, you're a natural at this, so it should just come easy. And so we kind of think about that in terms of marriage too. Many people say, I don't know what's happening with my marriage. You know, I've always been good at relationships. And I'll say, have you ever been married before? And if they say, yes, I have, I'll ask the second question, was it successful? If it's not successful, we're already there. But often they'll say, no, I've never been. And so my point is, if you've never been married and you're having a difficult time in your marriage, that shouldn't be any surprise, because you're trying to master a whole new type of relationship. And if you don't know what undergirds it, if you don't know the secret of it, you're going to have a hard time, because you're going to make it much more complicated than it needs to be. Simple is always the better approach. So we make things complicated, and the things that matter are almost always much more simple. Not easy. Simple. And so then we have to figure out what are the pieces to make that approach work. The second thing that I noticed about people watching is that they assumed they knew more than they did. They made some basic assumptions in their head, and that's why I could fool them. And so they made these assumptions in their head that misled them. I'll talk about that a little bit more in a minute. So they made this assumption that they understood, you know, all the inner workings of physics, or how the hands can work, or how the eyes could work, and how your ocular system works, and all those things. They made assumptions, and I could weave around that because I knew the assumptions they were making. The same is true when people get into a relationship. They make assumptions. So they'll say, okay, well, a marriage is just the next step in dating. It is not. It is building a whole different relationship. Or they say, you know, it's kind of like a friendship, or it's not at all like a friendship, or and they come up with all these things that they are assuming about it. And then if you start reading some of the material that's out there on marriage, you realize that even those pieces are so complicated that you may finally go, okay, I don't understand this, but you can't make sense of it because it's not simple in those books. The process is simple, not easy. I want to just say that over and over. Not easy. It took me a long time to master this. It took me a long time to master sleight of hand. But that was the process because I wanted to do magic. And this is the process because you want to be in a happy marriage, right? Same thing. Okay, so the next thing I learned from watching people is they miss what matters. People wouldn't notice the way I would put a ball in my hand. They wouldn't notice what I was doing elsewhere. Or I would have them look over here while I'm doing something over here called misdirection, right? They were misdirected and didn't see what I was doing on the backside. I'm not going to do any tricks for you today, so don't worry. You don't have to live through that right now. But they would miss that. And so while they're looking over here and focused on this, over here is what mattered. That's true in every bit of magic. If you want to pick apart a magic show for real, don't look where the magician wants you to look. Look elsewhere. With that in mind, I can watch many people do tricks and go, oh, there it is. And the people around me will still miss it. Why? Because they got misdirected. And the same is true in marriage. People are like, okay, we're married now, right? So while I should be looking over here, I'm looking over here at, oh, now we got to raise the kids. Now I got to work on my job. Now I've got all these other things in life that are calling me. And what they forget is over here is what mattered. So they hit the pause button over here and they go over here, right? That's the pause button marriage that I talk about, but it's not noticing what matters. In magic, over here, that's just to keep you misdirected, while over here is what matters. In life, yeah, these things matter. But what really matters for the family is getting this intact while these things are taken care of as a team. So what matters over here? Working as a team so that these things over here can get the right attention. But don't take over. So next thing I learned from magic is people miss what matters with just a little bit of misdirection. Never took a lot. I could glance over here. Your eyes will follow over there, right? Doop. Your eyes look over there. While over here, I'm doing what matters. I might even point, right? And so sometimes you see someone point and you miss the fact that there it is, right? And so all of these things fit into life too. We get misdirected. Society likes to misdirect. When you're seeing advertising, it's misdirecting. When you're listening to politicians, many times it's misdirecting, right? It's don't look at this, look at this. And it's true in our lives too. We don't notice this because we're so focused on this. And this is where we should have focused attention, at least some attention, right? This didn't need all the attention. It's not that you miss the child rearing and the job and all those things, but you find a place where you're noticing what really truly matters. So what's my point today? A couple of things. I think that we need to focus on, three things. We want to simplify, we want to learn, and we want to focus. So simplify your process. If you're reading lots and lots on saving your marriage, if you've got all this stuff on your computer that is about saving your marriage, you want to make sure that you're finding what helps you simplify it. And so if you're finding lots of things that are about misdirecting your spouse, tricking them, that's my real concern when people say, tell me the trick, tell me the tip, is they're missing the heart of that. So simplify your process, but do it smart, because what often happens is that when we get in the complications, it stalls us out. So you want to have a simple process. Simple process, three C's. Connect, change yourself, create a new path. Simple process, not easy. Simple process, so simplify. Whenever we simplify, it doesn't mean that it just takes away all the struggle and all the difficulty. It just means that it's easy for us to focus so that we can take on those hard things. We can master it with work. So simplify your process. Second thing is learn. If you have in your mind that you should know how to do marriage because your parents are married or you dated or you've been married before, I mean, the exception is people who had a very successful marriage and they lost their spouse. Their spouse died or something happened, right? That's a different matter because they really have learned the skills of that. But I'm talking about people who say, well, I've been married before. I've known people who've been married multiple times and never figured it out. So the problem is that we assume we know from lots of different places. We assume that we understand it when we don't. So the process of learning is being willing to learn. Back when I was doing jiu-jitsu, had conversations with the instructor who had been an instructor for decades. And he said, you know, the hard thing about this is that most of the people coming to our class have been somewhat successful in life. You know, here they are coming into this after already being in life a long time. I was in my 50s when I started. And so he says, the problem is they think that they are there, right? They've mastered other things, so they should be able to master this. And they're not willing to learn. So always try to adopt a beginner's mindset whenever I start something new. And I try to hold on to it. To always ask the question, what can I learn here? What can I learn from this? When I'm talking with somebody, I use the beginner's mindset to not assume everything about what they're going to tell me. When I'm looking at different things in my life, I'm trying to assume, and I always assume that with working with marriages. I'm trying to have a beginner's mindset. What can I learn here? So the learner's lifetime learner's mindset is what you want to adopt. Don't make assumptions that you know how to do marriage just because of other things in your past. Make this assumption. If your marriage is in trouble, there's some learning to happen. So be in the process of learning. And then the third thing is to focus on what matters. Many times when I'm talking with people, they are so focused on things that don't matter. They just don't matter, but they get their focus there. Partly because it makes them feel better that they're focused somewhere. I had one person I was talking to, and this was, he was trying to figure out how to thrive in life. And he said, it's not like I'm not doing anything. I said, well, tell me what you're doing. He said, I'm worried all the time. And I said, that's not doing anything. You're focused on your fears. You're focused on your thoughts, but you're not focused on making a difference in your life. So focus on the things that matter. So simplify. Meaning, let's find a direct approach that will help you. I'd love to talk to you about that at SaveTheMarriage.com, or you can check out some of my other resources like my new Substack, The Online Compass. The ConnectionCompass.online. So the ConnectionCompass.online or my system at SaveTheMarriage.com. Great places to get some information on a simple approach. And I can tell you that my approach I use across the board. I'll add new things in as I learn them, as I think you need to learn things, but we try to simplify it, right? Then you got to be willing to learn. Always be catching up. And you want to make sure you're focused on what matters. What matters? I believe, since you're here, that you recognize that your marriage matters. So let's stay focused there on how you can improve and save your marriage. And again, if I can help, find me at SaveTheMarriage.com. That's SaveTheMarriage.com. This is Lee Balkin wishing you the best as you work to save your marriage.
You've been listening to Save the Marriage Podcast. For more information and help, please visit us at SaveTheMarriage.com.